Well, Wendy and I have enjoyed just being with you here at camp so far. Wendy is away this morning at her first physical therapy appointment since her accident, and so she had to go off. She didn't really want to go back to the real world for even just a moment. You know, we just wanted to keep here, but she'll be back later, and hopefully this evening the plan is for our four daughters to join us. So Wendy and I have enjoyed walking around. There's a trail that leads, you know, many of you know, from here kind of around the edge of the lake, and it's a prayer trail. And along portions of that trail, there are these rocks that have been etched in stone. I mean, they're stone, and they've been etched, and there's some Bible verses in some of the rocks. Some of them point out the different aspects of God's creation, the different flowers and so forth. And it got me thinking a little bit about another stone that I saw etched recently. I was doing an informal funeral at a graveside just in the last couple weeks. And it was for a wonderful Northwoods woman. Her name was Minnie. Her full name was Hermine. She was born in Germany and came over here. And she passed away in her late 80s, went to be with the Lord. Ooh, I just felt a raindrop. Okay, well, we'll see. And on her headstone, it was already there, on her headstone it read, "Once met, never forgotten." What would you want on your headstone? I would hope on mine it could say, "He was a man of God's word." I really do. I mean, they can put whatever they want. I'll be gone. So they can put whatever they want in my headstone. But I hope they could say he was a man of God's word. And so Jonathan this morning kind of referenced a little bit of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. But later in Psalm 19, it says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." We really believe God's word is powerful. So I want to think through God's word with you. I'm going to hit the fast forward button just a little bit as I feel the raindrops. So turn to 1 John with me, 1 John 2. Okay, 1 John 2, verses 12 through 17. "I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." So I'm just going to close this up, and I'm going to talk with you about one idea, really briefly. It's about identity. I honestly believe that when we have our identity set in the Lord, that the storms of life can come, but we will not ultimately be shaken. Identity theft is a thing these days. You can have your social security number stolen, your credit card compromised, and it turns your life upside down. In the same way, we can have the identity of our souls stolen. And when we rest our identity on anything other than Jesus, we're in trouble. For me, I had to settle that in my own life because my identity is really wrapped up in being a dad, a husband, a pastor. And I had to get to the point where if any one of those things was tragically taken from me, I would be traumatized, I would be grieved, it would affect the rest of my life, but I ultimately would have my trust in Christ. In 1 John 2, it talks about fathers and sons and young men. But I really believe it's talking about all of God's people. It's like saying every father's son, every mother's daughter. In the Chronicles of Narnia, they talk about the human beings being a son of Adam and a daughter of Eve. Our identity is in Christ. If you can settle your identity in Christ, the storms of life are going to come, but we won't be shaken. And that's the bottom line of what I wanted to say. I had a whole thing prepared. I wanted to share it all with you. I just don't feel like I can keep doing that as it's raining. It's just totally a distraction, but it's good. So continue to read 1 John. Like, are we good? Like, should I think we got to wrap up probably. Yeah, Aaron says we're good. Jonathan, what do you think? I don't know. Okay. Let's move to the dining hall. Let's do it. Dining hall. Here we go. Yeah, feel free. Of another moment that I didn't expect. I woke up several years ago one morning. It was a Sunday morning, and I had to preach. And I just really didn't feel good. And I said out loud to Wendy, I said, Wendy, if I didn't have to preach this morning, there's no way I would be going to church today. I just feel awful. But I got to preach, so I'll go to church. So I just felt bad. My stomach felt bad. I just didn't feel very good. And I went to church, and I drank a bunch of water. I was trying to feel better. Wendy said, well, why don't you just bring a bucket up with you and set it on the front row just in case. And so we made it through the front part of the service a little bit like we did today. Like, praise the Lord, we're able to have, is this on? Can you hear me? Should I use that? Is that better? Better to have it on? Okay. A little bit like today, we got through the worship time in singing, which is awesome. And we got through the worship time in this service on a Sunday morning. And I got up, I read the scripture. And as I was reading the scripture, you know that feeling in your mouth you get? Right before, I was starting to get that. And I swallowed, and I thought, I can do this. And I gave my first opening comments, and I said, nope, sorry, can't do this. That's all I said. Put the mic down, grabbed the bucket, walked out of the back of the sanctuary, and thankfully, the tech guy turned off my mic. Because otherwise, like, coming through the mic would have been me losing my breakfast and everything. And our youth pastor / worship leader got up at the time and said, well, let's pray for Pastor Josh right now. And to this day, some of the people in our church, like, remember that service more than any other service. Because that was the service where Pastor Josh threw up. That was the memory. So today, let's open back up to God's word. Let's just pause for a second, though, and pray. Okay, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as our worship leader said this morning, none of this is a surprise to you. You love us. You are sovereign. You know the end from the beginning, and you have set this time aside for us to be here just like this. I pray that you would calm our hearts, allow us to maybe refocus again on your scripture, and guide us as we think through your character. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's a little bit more of my introduction. I really sincerely do hope that God's word is the foundation of what I do in my life. I cannot do what I do, stand up and talk to people about Jesus, talk with people interpersonally about Jesus, if I don't walk with Jesus myself. This job, our lives are hard enough. And if I don't spend time in the word every day, I'm really lost. God's word really is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it's really personal for me. I'm reading through the Bible, not in 1 John, not in Luke. We're going to be doing a sermon series in Luke. I'm not just reading what it is I'm going to preach on. I'm reading those scriptures, but I'm also just on my own reading through scripture. I'm in 1 Kings right now, reading about Solomon. And I get up in the morning, and it's the thing I look forward to more than anything in the day. is this quiet time with God, seeing him and his character come alive to me through the words of Scripture. I really believe that there are a lot of great books, and I love reading good stories. I love reading good books, and there are a lot of great books, but this is the only book that is genuinely, there is an element of this that is alive. These words are living, and they do something in our lives when we make the time to just set aside time daily and read a little bit of God's word every day. And I'm just committed to that for the rest of my life. There can be a lot of questions, a lot of circumstances that change, but God's word is an anchor in my life. And so as I thought of getting ready to come and share God's word with you this week, and be a speaker this week, I just couldn't plan anything else than saying, let's just go through some scripture together. And then I'll get to know you and we'll be able to interact. But ultimately, God's word is like the thing that we're going to return to again and again. So the message today is entitled Priority Mail. This is a letter. 1 John is a letter, so it's mail. And it's going to talk with us about our identity and our priorities. So let's read again 1 John 2, 12 to 17. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you've overcome the evil one. Verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's always good to hear the kitchen staff. If I have learned anything in my time as a follower of Christ and as a pastor in this Northwoods community, it's that our identity and our priorities have a huge impact on our lives. Who we are and what we do. How we see ourselves, all that matters. And if we get this squared away in our hearts, like I said outside, the storms of life will come. They'll come. It's not like they won't come. I mean, we prayed against the rain, but the rain came anyways. It's not like the storms of life won't come, but they're not going to rock us. They're not going to ultimately dislodge us. And so I want to think about that carefully with you now. We can slow down just a little bit and think carefully together. Identity and priorities. That's what I want to think with you about this morning. Verses 12 to 14 speak to our identity. In verses 15 to 17, talk about our priorities. So here's the first part, kind of a two-part message this morning. The first part has to do with our identity. Like I was saying before, in the real world, identity theft is not uncommon. I was driving home just this week from work, and I was listening to the radio, and they had a report on how people in the military are like two-thirds more likely to have their identity stolen. And identity theft is a thing. And so just like our Social Security number can be stolen, our credit card can be compromised, the identity of our souls can be compromised and stolen by the enemy and turn our lives upside down. But when our identity is firmly set in who Jesus is, the rock of our salvation, then we're secure. When our identity is wrapped up first in who Jesus is, we will live resounding lives of eternal value. I'll say that again. When our identity is wrapped up first in who Jesus is, we will live resounding lives of eternal value. And no one can steal that. No matter what, no one can steal that. And so that's what John is saying essentially in verses 12 to 14. And the way John says it is somewhat poetic, and I was really looking forward to almost digging in with you at family camp here, the difference between what John says to fathers and what he says to children and what he says to young men. In verses 12 to 13, he references children, fathers, and young men. And then because John's a repeater, he repeats himself. He references children, fathers, and young men again in verse 14. And there's a whole part of me that really wanted to dig in. Well, what's he saying? What's he saying to fathers? What's he saying to children? What's he saying to young men? And the more I looked at this, the more carefully it really seems to be saying, this is our identity, all of us as believers. And it's still beautiful that he references the fathers and the children and the young men. But it's really as if I had a calculus professor. I was an engineering student. And when I was an engineering student, I studied calculus. And my calculus professor was Dr. Richard Painter. And he used to hint to us what would be on the test. He would hint to us what would be on the test. And he would kind of lean forward and he would say, this is really important to know. Every father's son and every mother's daughter ought to know this. And that was the code language. And we'd say, okay. We'd write down we'd highlight what he was talking about. Every father's son and every mother's daughter ought to know this. That's a little bit what John is saying. He's leaning forward. And he's saying in verses 12 and 13 and 14, every father's son, every mother's daughter ought to know this. There's a theologian, C.H. Dodd, who said, all Christians are, by grace, not by nature, children in innocence, young men in strength, and fathers in experience. And so what we need to hear isn't as much about parents and children and grandchildren. There's scriptures that talk about that beautifully, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5 and 6. But 1 John 2, 12 to 14 is really an encouragement for every believer about our identity. Look at verse 12. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Every believer lives in forgiveness. Verse 13. You know him who is from the beginning and have overcome the evil one. Every believer knows God personally and has an overcoming approach to life. Verse 14. You know the Father. You are strong. The word of God lives in you. There's strength. In other words, with Jesus, this is who you are. This is your identity. You are forgiven. God knows you. You know him. You have victory. You have the word of God. He is living in you. In you. You have abundant life in you. And when we surrender our lives to Christ, we're going to be transformed. Our identity is settled in these areas. Forgiveness, knowledge, victory. And that goes for every father's son and every mother's daughter. Every son of Adam, every daughter of Eve. And John says this because the enemy would love to steal our identity. A year ago, I had somebody trying to steal my identity, along with a number of pastors in the Northwoods area. I think someone or a number of people were kind of trolling our websites. And if we had our emails and even our phone numbers, our personal phone numbers on our website, our elders and myself and some of our staff. And somebody kind of got those different emails and then was sending out an email in my name. And they got the different phone numbers and they were sending out a text in my name. It wasn't my phone number, but it was a text in my name. Here's one of the texts that went out in my name. Thanks for your response. Hope you're good. I need to get an iTunes gifts card for some patients battling cancer in the hospital, but I currently can't do that because I'm busy. Can you please get that for me from any store around you? I will reimburse you. Please message me back to know if you can help me with that. May the peace of the Lord continue to be with you, Pastor Joshua. And one of our elders actually bought some iTunes gift cards and then called me. He's like, Josh, I just wanted to call and confirm. I got these iTunes gift cards. Where do they need to go? I said, Scott, that totally wasn't me. He's like, you know what? I knew that. I knew that couldn't be you. That was so weird. And if you know me well, that sounds fishy. But it's like close enough to almost work. Someone tried to steal my identity. And friends, someone is trying to steal yours.